Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to People You Need to Know on Spark Plug Radio. I'm your host, Spark Plug, publisher of People You Need to Know magazine, Atlanta's official magazine uplifting women business owners. In this segment, we're going to be speaking with Ms. Nani Walker. She believes that the missing link to your health is your mind. My guest today is a native of Stuart, Florida, and a graduate of Bethune-Cookman University. She received her Master of Public Health degree from the University of South Florida. Today, she is the founder and owner of the Walker Exchange. A motivational speaker, wellness coach, and author, her goal is to help individuals reconnect the mind, body, and spirit elements of their lives. We are honored to have on the phone today one of the newest members of the People You Need to Know magazine network of first-class women business owners, Ms. Nani Walker. Welcome to Spark Plug Radio.
Thank you, Spark Plug. Thank you for such a warm welcome this morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Fantastic, and I'm trying to get better. Now, we know you're extremely busy, so let's back up a little bit. Did I get your name right?
You certainly did. You said it perfectly, Nani. Thank you.
Nani, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, Miss Nani, you know, what do you mean when you say that the missing link to your health is your mind?
Well, Spark Plug, what I mean by that is that too often we think of certain elements when we consider our health. And these elements are ones that should be considered. We should be looking at things like nutrition. We should be looking at things like fitness. But too often we will only think about those things, and we're not thinking about the role that our mind plays in our pursuit of health. So we might only be focusing on, what foods am I eating? Am I drinking enough water? Or, I've got to get to that gym. But what happens is that we find ourselves kind of reaching a plateau. I've changed my diet as much as I can. I am exercising as much as I think that I can, but for some reason I can't seem to lose this last 20 pounds, or I can't seem to bulk up the way that I want to regarding my fitness. And what I'm presenting is that oftentimes this has to go back to our minds, our thoughts, and our beliefs. So, Spark Plug, that's what I mean when I say the missing link is our mind, because we're usually not considering our minds, our thoughts, and our beliefs when it comes to our health.
All right. Well, I met you maybe a little more than a week ago when you attended our Success Secrets of Women Business Owners event at Rays on the River in Sandy Springs. And I noticed that you pretty much practice what you preach. You look like you could be a personal trainer. How important is it to you to actually walk your talk and look the way you think is healthy?
It's very important to me, and thank you for the compliment. I'm not sure I would go that far to say a fitness trainer, but I certainly appreciate that compliment. It's very important to me to walk the talk of what I speak about to audiences and coach about and write about. And, in fact, it's quite a benefit. I meet people all the time that believe I'm about 10 years younger than I am, and I use that to my advantage to teach what we're talking about today, Spark Plug, that once you can become more aware of how you're thinking about your health, how you're thinking about your life, thinking about your goals around health and wellness, that you can become more aware of any thoughts or beliefs or behaviors that are negative. You can do some work around that and to begin to release those negative and limiting thoughts and behaviors. And you can find then that you might actually start to look younger. You're going to make better choices. You're going to approach your day very differently. You're going to approach your environment and the people that you are around very differently by becoming more aware of the role that our minds play in health. So it's, of course, it's extremely important to walk the talk. And again, thank you for that compliment. I'm trying.
Right. So awareness is key. So also, how important is the mind or the mental aspect to our health?
It is very, very important. And, you know, I like to give an analogy when I'm describing this because sometimes, you know, health educators, physicians, practitioners, we can say a lot of words. We can talk about something very passionately from what we feel, but it helps a lot to give an example. So my analogy I'd love to use is thinking about a car, right? And whether you drive one or not, we've all at least seen one at this point. And so we understand that a car is like a very big piece of something, you know, a very big material, I guess you could say. And when we're looking at that car, while the car is in action, what actually makes the car go? It's the driver, okay? The car and the driver. Even though the car is the biggest element in this example, the driver, who sometimes we can't even see, it's the driver that controls where the car is going, right? We get into a car, put on our signal, we're going to turn the steering wheel and turn left. We're going to turn the steering wheel and turn right. We're going to go straight. We're going to stop and or back up. So the driver, who seems to be, when we're looking at it, an insignificant piece of the puzzle, is actually the most important piece of this picture of making the car move. Well, spark plug, our health and our bodies and our minds are just like that example, okay? Our body is the car, but our mind is the driver. Hopefully you're able to follow what I'm saying. I love this analogy. I heard it many years ago, and I just love to use it with audiences because it really helps people to understand. The mind is the driver, and your body is the car. So if we can get a little bit deeper and into the mind has two different levels, our conscious mind and our subconscious mind. So when we think about things that we're doing consciously, I like to say those are things that we're doing on purpose. I'm thinking about this on purpose. I'm doing this on purpose. But the subconscious mind is what moves us not on purpose. It's the things that we don't even think about. It's the habits that we've formed. It's the beliefs that we have. So look at how important this is in the car and driver example. Even though I may be driving that car, and I consciously make a decision to turn left, I might subconsciously drive too fast or drive too slow. And it's the same thing with our bodies. We can choose things on purpose, like eating very healthy or exercising, but there are certain things on the subconscious level that until we become aware of it are still driving our bodies. So that is how the mind is very important to our health. The mind and the mental aspect is very important because we've got the conscious and the subconscious levels that are driving the things that we do for our bodies and our health.
Well, I love that example. Your body is the car, and your mind is the driver. So
exactly.
When you feel like driving in that drive-thru, your mind can say, I don't want to drive through that drive-thru. I'm going to go to the store and get me something, go to the grocery store and get me something healthy and go home and make it. So that's a powerful example. I appreciate that. So let's move on.
Sure.
When it comes to our health, is the mind more or less important than the body?
Great question. Well, there's a continuum of health. There's a continuum of life, really. We can first look at our spiritual selves, then our mental, then our body, okay? Mind, body, spirit. But if we were to kind of put it in order, it would really be like spirit, mind, and then body. So because this is a continuum, it's actually not correct to say that one of those is actually more important than the other. What I love to teach and talk about and write and coach about is that we can strive for a balance along this continuum. Now, the reason that many times we look at the body as more important is because, just like the car, that's what we can see. If you were to walk outside right now and pass five people, you don't see their minds walking by you. You see their bodies. When you look in the mirror, you see your body. You don't see your mind hanging out with all the thoughts in the little cartoon circle or anything. So we oftentimes think that the body is more important because that's what we see. Oh, well, I look this way. Oh, well, I'm this weight. I'm this height. I'm this color. I'm this shape. You know, there's all of these different aspects of the body. However, not saying that it's more important or less important, it is equally as important to look at the mental part of that continuum. So even though you might look a certain way, you might observe other people in a certain way, the mental aspects, the mind, the beliefs, and our thoughts affect our bodies just as much. And because this is a continuum that I just mentioned a few minutes ago, if we're kind of looking at first, second, third, again, not more important than the other, but if we're looking at first, second, and third, what goes on in our mind actually happens first and then manifests in the body. So let me just give a quick example. I get a pimple on my face, okay? We look at it, we see it, oh my goodness, I just got this pimple. But more than likely, something that's been happening on the inside is what gave that final result of the pimple. And what is being more accepted in Western society now that's been accepted in other parts of the world for a very long time is that not just what we eat and how that's processed in the body is what happens on the outside, but our emotions are just as important in forming things that can manifest on the outside. So it's all a continuum. And nothing is more important than the other, but certainly the thoughts and the beliefs that we have do its magic and do its work before we see what comes on the outside.
Well, Nani, how do we define health, and how does the mind play into that definition?
Well, thank you for that question. Health is many times said or use the same as wellness. We typically say health and wellness, and we think we're talking about the same thing. They're actually different things. Wellness, I'm going to go to wellness first, and I'll come back to health. Wellness is an ongoing process, okay, an ongoing process of making choices that are going to lead to a successful result, all right? So wellness is something that we're working on for our entire lives. There's many components of wellness. As opposed to that, health is more of, at a specific point in time, the general condition of one's mind or body, okay? I don't know if you can see the difference there. Wellness is ongoing, and health is, at a particular time, the general condition of one's mind or body. So when we look at that definition, and because people sometimes mistakenly or they're unaware, they're using health to mean, you know, I'm healthy because I am this weight. I'm healthy because I look this way. I'm healthy because I have low blood pressure. But health really encompasses the state of the mind and the body. Let me give you an example. If Barbara, I'm making up names. And any example I use, I'm just making up names. This is not any of my clients or anything. But Barbara is 120 pounds. She's got a low blood pressure. She doesn't have any, you know, diseases or conditions, nothing like diabetes or anything. She's very physically fit. Well, the average person would say, Barbara's healthy if you ask me. But if Barbara is actually severely depressed, if we're looking at her health, then she is not in good health at that time. Because health should encompass the mind and the body when we are evaluating health.
All right. Well, how do our minds or thoughts contribute to our overall health?
Well, thank you. As I was saying a few minutes ago, you know, here in Western society, we're beginning to accept a little bit more some what we would call non-traditional beliefs, okay, about health. But again, in other parts of the world, some of these methods and ways of understanding have been very popular for a long time. So what we are beginning to understand is that our minds, our thoughts, our beliefs, and our emotions are very important in manifesting health. Okay, so for example, there are certain conditions that in other parts of the world, and again, more accepted now, there are certain conditions that it is believed it started with an emotion, okay? There are things, and this can be very controversial, and I'm aware of that, and I had to make a conscious choice before deciding to be this type of speaker, because it sometimes can go against what we naturally are taught or what we naturally think, but hang in here with me, that a certain condition, let's say a headache, many times we think about a headache and say, my headache is caused by the lighting in this room, my headache is caused because it is cold in here, okay, and we liken that health condition to something physical, but really, what we're finding out more and more is that that health condition can be traced back to an emotion or to a thought that you're repeating in your mind over and over and over. And when that emotion becomes so deep, then it becomes accepted as true and then becomes a belief. So, again, our minds and our beliefs have such an impact on our health and our bodies. And just becoming more aware of that is just very, very important.
Getting back to awareness once again. Well, Nani, how are our minds and the beliefs that we have about our health related?
They are very, very much related. Again, when we think about health, we have to get away from that idea that health is only about the physical, or, you know, health is about how much I'm exercising or how well or not well that I'm eating. You know, the mind and our health, the beliefs and our health are very much related, very strongly correlated. And, you know, it's kind of funny because when I talk about things like this, or I realize that other people that think along these lines speak about this, sometimes we can get accused of being like hippies or new age thinking, and that's fine because many times if we don't understand something, then we label it foreign. But there is science that now supports these ideas that our beliefs directly affect our health. Maybe not, I'm not going to make a statement and say it's more important than food, it's more important than exercise. Again, I teach balance, that we have to strive for the balance between mind, body, and spirit. But, yes, to answer your question just very directly, our beliefs and our health are very, very much related.
All right. I like that. Well, what are some of the misconceptions that we have about the mind?
Okay. Well, some of the misconceptions are that we might walk around every day thinking, you know, I fully know what I'm thinking. I'm fully in control of my thoughts. You know, I'm thinking right now that I'm talking, or I'm thinking right now that I'm picking up this piece of paper. I'm thinking right now that I'm going to go to the bathroom. So a misconception is that every thought that we think is a conscious thought. But spark plugs, in my research, I've read that anywhere from 90, 95, 98% of our actions are controlled by our subconscious thoughts. So that's a very big misconception right there, that we think, you know, everything that we do is a conscious choice, but it's not. Again, science has shown that 90, 95, 98% of what we do is actually ruled by the subconscious. So if we can become aware of that piece of information, then we can understand sometimes, instead of beating ourselves up, you know, I can't lose this 20 pounds, I can't get in the gym and get the way I want to look, instead of beating ourselves up, just come to more of an awareness and more of an understanding that I didn't choose consciously to be this way, you know. Spark Plug, a couple years back, I was 30 pounds overweight. I didn't choose to be that, but there were some subconscious thoughts and beliefs that were going on that when I was focused on one aspect of my life, I wasn't even thinking about the other. And so the choices that I was making were subconscious. And so I expand that view that not just me, but many of us experience that. And becoming more aware of that misconception, that idea that, man, I must be nothing because I must have chosen to feel this way. I must have chosen to look this way or be overweight or have this dis-ease or condition. And we've got to give ourselves a break. We've got to understand this might have been a subconscious thing. This might have been a belief that I adopted as a small child. This might have been something, this might have been a traumatic experience that I went through, and my emotions were so strong at that time that it formed a belief. And so I'm going to give myself a break now and do some work to become more aware of my beliefs and do some work to change those beliefs and do some work to release them and adopt new beliefs. But that's really the biggest misconception right there. And just becoming more aware of it and help bring us more health and vitality to our lives.
I like that, Donnie. Give yourself a break.
Give yourself a break. Love yourself. Thank you. That's right.
Yeah. Well, let's change gears here. Let's get a little bit closer to home. What effect does the relationship between parents and children or people in their environment have on beliefs that are formed, especially around their health?
Oh, wonderful. Yes, I've done lots of research around this and I've experienced this personally. And in working with thousands of people around the country for years, I've seen this over and over again. So, think about this. We grow up and we love to say, nothing my parents did affected me, right? We love to say, this is all me. I'm making all these choices. I'm not my mother. I'm not my father. I'm not my grandmother, my grandfather. Well, whether we like it or not, many of the conscious and subconscious beliefs and actions that we do on a daily basis are due to the relationships that we've had with our families at a young age. Research shows that from ages 0 to about age 7 is when many of the beliefs that we have today were formed. And so who's around us from ages 0 to 7? Well, more than likely our parents. More than likely, you know, we have extended family, our grandparents, our cousins, and maybe very, very close family friends. So as we grow from birth until age 7, we don't have the ability to make the choices to say, I will believe this and I won't believe that, okay? It's an automatic thing. We're taught A, B, C, D. We're taught this is what we do. We're taught this is how we live. And we're taught this is, you know, the conversations that are had in the home and in our environment. From ages 0 to 7, we don't know how to filter that. So, again, as an adult, whether we like it or not, many of the things that occurred in our lives at those early ages, because there was no filter, they became beliefs that we had, okay? So it's the relationship between us and our families and us and our environment is very, very important. Now, not to say that after age 7, these things, that we don't acquire new beliefs, because that's where the environment comes in. You can live in an environment, a particular environment for a long period of time and begin to acclimate to that environment, begin to have experiences that have such deep emotion connected with them that those experiences become beliefs. So great question. It is that relationship is so important in how our beliefs are formed. And we've got to kind of release that whole negative thing of, you know, my parents didn't affect me. They did. But what I want to really emphasize, Spark Plug, is that no matter, as you become more aware of your beliefs, no matter what they are, even if they are horrible in your opinion, blame is not to be placed on your parents, your family, your extended family, or your environment. That's not what we're aiming for. We're not aiming to say, well, it's her fault I'm like this. It's his fault I'm like this. What we're only doing is becoming aware so that we can release. But we're not looking to point blame. It's not important where like how they came. Important that we become more aware. Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, we only have a few minutes left, and I still have a few more questions, so I want you to answer these next few questions as briefly as you can. But I want to get to this, one of my final questions first, because I want you to answer this one, because I really think this is important for our listeners. What can a person do today to change negative and limiting beliefs?
A person today can do a variety of things, and I'll try to make it brief, but you know I'm a speaker, and make it brief. They can do a variety of things to change negative and limiting beliefs, okay? First is to try to become aware of those beliefs. Take, for example, a specific goal that you have not been able to reach over time, okay? Sit down, get a pen and paper, write down that goal, and then write down the first thing that comes to your mind as to why you weren't able to achieve that goal. That right there is going to tell you intuitively what your belief is around that. So I wanted to lose 20 pounds, but I couldn't because I didn't have enough money to buy a gym membership. I don't have enough money to buy healthy food, okay? That right there is the deep belief. Take the time to make lists of why that's really true and why it really isn't true. That's one activity. Another thing other things that you can do are to focus on this is a what we call trendy, affirmations. Finding affirmations to say, to listen to on a daily basis. You can practice meditation. You can set intention. You can read books on the subject. I, for one, love to listen to podcasts almost all day. For the deeper beliefs that you're having trouble changing on your own, seek out a psychologist. Seek out a coach, such as a wellness coach. You can also seek out a therapist. And for very, very deep issues, people go as far as hypnosis. So those are, from A to Z, a variety of ways to become more aware of and to change negative and limiting beliefs.
Well, I'm going to give you this last question here. And give me, in 15 seconds, how can we become more keenly aware of the misconceptions or beliefs that we have about our health?
I would say that the number one way is to ask questions around whatever that goal was you couldn't achieve, and then you write down your answer, or whether you're kind of like thinking this might be a belief I have, ask questions over and over again. Where did this come from? What do I really think about this? Can I find truth or can I negate it? So asking questions is a big way.
All right. Well, Nani, finally, tell us, how can our listeners connect with you?
They can connect with me in a variety of ways. Number one is my website, thewalkerexchange.com. It is simply thecompanyname.com. Also, I am very big into social media and would love to connect and interact with you via Facebook, facebook.com/thewalkerexchange. I'm on Twitter, twitter.com, @WalkerExchange. I've got a YouTube channel with several different videos that talk about what we've been discussing today, and that's youtube.com/thewalkerexchange. Additionally, for people who love to talk, as you can see, I do too, 404-913-1198.
All right. Well, Ms. Nani Walker, owner of the Walker Exchange, thanks for spending some of your most valuable time with us today.
Thank you so much, Spark Plug, for having me on your show. I really appreciate this opportunity, and I look forward to working with you and look forward to working with the listeners in the future.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Spark Plug Radio, the radio station that shines the spotlight on Ms. Nani Walker and other women business owners in Metro Atlanta. To listen to even more People You Need to Know, just Google Spark Plug Radio or visit our website at sparkplugpeople.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at PYNTK, where you can check out the latest pictures from our most recent photo shoots of new clients. I want to take a moment to thank our executive producer and my wife, Ms. Jacqueline Benjamin Thomas, for doing another sterling job behind the scenes. So until next time, this is Spark Plug reminding you that People You Need to Know magazine shines the spotlight on women business owners like no other company in the world. Thanks again for tuning in to Spark Plug Radio.